What up, though? It's your boy GameCube, that dude, aka the Black Ninja. And we just wanted to take a second before the episode started. We recorded this before the passing of the legendary creator of Dragon Ball Z, Akira Toriyama. And we just wanted to take a second and acknowledge and say rest in power. And we did, after the editing, decide to dedicate the Nerd Talk portion of our edit to him, so you'll hear that when you hear the episode. I just wanted to make sure we gave him a shout out. All right, hope you enjoy the episode. Peace.
The MC Nerd Jack Show. Welcome back to the MC Nerd Jack Show with your host, GameCube Dad Dude.
Your life would hit different if you kept your diet balanced. Wake these up, man, I'm tired of them sleeping. But not during REM, cause deep sleep will keep us breathing. No sleep, bad diet, that's the cause of most diseases. Popping pills, not a cure, that's just a treatment. Food, the real medicine, we healing with a passion. Restore the gut health through the intermittent fasting. Your body is a temple, pay attention what you added. You gotta be intentional, results is everlasting. Eat a salad, a metaphor to go and get your greens. Your wallet, the environment, it works for anything. You want a healthy diet, lean and green, and keep you clean. Cocaine, sugar, white shit make you fiend. Obesity and drugs, how the U.S. getting money. Meat banned in 3 continents and 60 countries. They taking human meat and they telling us it's animals. Where all the missing children at? I think niggas cannibals. Ashwagandha mixed with chlorophyll and echinacea. Burdock root, bok choy I got from Asia. Macaroo to help you out if you ain't getting stiff. You keep on getting sick, grab them up and tell them this. Little hey, eat a salad, come on. Eat a salad one more time. Eat a salad.
Hey, I had to run it back. I had to run it back.
Wake these up. Man, I'm tired of them sleeping. But not during REM, because deep sleep will keep us breathing. No sleep. Bad diet, that's the cause of most diseases.
Yeah.
Popping pills,
yeah.
Not a cure.
Yeah.
That's just a treatment.
Yeah.
Food, the real medicine, we healing with a passion.
Uh-huh.
Restore the gut health through the intermittent fasting.
Okay.
Your body is a temple. Pay attention what you added. You gotta be intentional. Results is everlasting.
Eat a salad.
A metaphor to go and get your greens.
Mm-hmm.
Your wallet, the environment, it works for anything. You want a healthy diet, lean and green, and keep you clean. Cocaine, sugar, white shit,
it'll make you fiend.
Obesity and drugs, how the U.S. getting money. Meat banned in 3 continents and 60 countries. They taking human meat and they telling us it's animals. Where all the missing children at? I think it's cannibals. Ashwagandha mixed with chlorophyll and echinacea. Burdock root, bok choy I got from Asia. Macaroo to help you out if you ain't getting stiff. You keep on getting sick, grab them up and tell them this. Eat a salad, come on. Eat a salad one more time. Eat a salad. Your life would hit different if you kept your diet balanced.
Oh, man. Yeah. So that's how we starting. That's how we starting today. yeah, it feels good to be back, y'all. I hope y'all enjoyed the last episode. I'm your host, GameCube Dad Dude, of course. I hope y'all enjoyed the last episode, the Dilla tribute. That was a lot of fun to do and just kind of bring you guys into the Dilla World Live event. Before I forget, I do want to make some corrections from last episode. I couldn't remember one of the names. Shout out to the big homie Killigans. He hit me up on Instagram and Instagram be getting rid of your messages, huh? If you don't. Oh, that kind of sucks. I didn't delete it. Why did it get rid of it? All right, hold on. Let me look this up. But yeah, so the event was dope. I'm glad I was able to kind of show you guys that and put you up on all right, here we go. Cool. So I found the message. Instagram was being funny. So YKU. YKU. Was that young group, the openers? Then there was another guy who was rapping that kind of reminded me of he kind of reminded me of like a Will.i.am a little bit. He was playing that one that kind of that had the call and response. His name was Dean Beans. I am Dean Beans. And then I was talking about the sound man. So the sound man was in the back of the club by the door. I also forgot to mention Set You Free. I missed their performance. It must have been when I was on the other side where the house DJs were spinning. So I missed their performance. But Set You Free, I guess, did a cipher kind of in the middle of their show. I'm kind of mad I missed that too, because I would have been hype. I would have, you know, that's all me. In fact, during the concert, Foulmouth was doing a bunch of beats, and a couple, like me, my man E-Man, a couple other people, just random people, we all started kicking freestyles and had a little cypher session kind of in the middle of the concert in the back of the venue. So yeah, some real hip hop going on that night. So I just wanted to make sure I gave them a shout out, to the homie Killigans, for reaching out and listening to last week's episode. So that was cool. I appreciate you. So, yo, we back with the sports, man. So our boy LeBron finally got 40,000. First NBA player ever to reach 40,000 points. Did it off of like a little fadeaway jump shot. You know, they didn't really, I thought they were going to like stop the game. It's funny too, because I was listening to the KG and Paul Pierce podcast, and KG was on the same wavelength that I was on. Like, you would think that they would have stopped the game, you know, at the 40,000. And nobody's ever gotten 40,000 before, so the fact that they didn't stop the game was just kind of interesting. But hey, nonetheless, they didn't stop the game. So, you know, it's kind of funny too, because I feel like people are still talking about, has LeBron passed Jordan now? Is LeBron officially, you know, is he officially that guy? Is he officially the GOAT? We've had this conversation before about GOATs, and I don't necessarily even like the conversation. So I'm not even necessarily going to entertain the conversation, but I want to talk about, and I want to bring it up for discussion so people can start discussing this. Like, name a bigger, I shouldn't even say bigger, name a more statistically elite person in any, well, let's just stick with sports for a second. Name any other athlete that is as elite as LeBron that still gets as much hate as LeBron does. I mean, this man is literally the leading scorer of all time in the NBA, and reached a level that no one's ever reached before. 40,000 points. It's never been done before. The next closest, what was Kareem? Kareem was what, 38 or something like that? So it's like 2,000. Hold on, let me see. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar career points. Yeah, so Kareem's at 38,387. So we're talking another 1,700 or 1,600 points that LeBron has. You know, so It's pretty incredible what he's been able to do, and the fact that he still gets crap for it. Like, he still has to prove himself is the most outlandish and wild and crazy thing I think I've ever seen. There's literally I don't know any other athlete. There's not a single athlete. Please, I would love for you guys to show me one. Name me one. Name me a single athlete that is statistically as good and elite as LeBron, but still gets as much hate as LeBron and is constantly compared to other people. I'll wait. Hold on. Let's bring the beat down. I'll wait. Yeah. Okay. That's what I thought. Because there isn't. There's no one like LeBron. Like, he's just different, man. Like, incredibly different. And I did save it. So I found this little I don't know if you guys have seen, but Steve Stout has kind of been going around doing interviews and stuff. So he did an interview with Shannon Sharp. That's been big news for different reasons, but he did mention something about, when he first met LeBron. And I just thought this was very interesting what he had to say. So hold on, let's play this.
When he was 17, I pitched LeBron. The whole story about LeBron and the $10 million check that he turned down.
Yes.
I was there. It was my idea to give him the check. I was in the room to give him the check.
A kid with a single mom.
I couldn't believe it.
Living in an apartment.
Yeah.
And you got a $10 million check. So
that's
here you
right.
go, bro.
Paul Feynman. So I tell Paul Feynman, I'm like, Paul. He goes, Adidas is going to do the deal. Nike's going to do the deal. He wants to go to Nike. His agent is already pre-approved the deal with Nike. I'm like, let me tell you how you deal with this. In the record business, when you want to sign somebody, you give them the money right there on the front. Like, you know what? Whatever you think the number is, we'll give you this signing bonus right now to not even take the other meetings. Because I figure if you're meeting me, you're really considering it.
Right.
I'm going to give you a signing bonus on top of what you think you should get so that there's no reason for you to take the other meetings.
Now I'm looking at a $10 million check
that you can leave with.
Yeah, and go to high school and go back to the classroom the next day. But if he's willing to give me a $10 million check right now, what is it to say that Nike or Adidas is not willing to give me 20 or 30, up front, or to say that maybe the upfront money is not even the biggest thing, maybe let's start thinking about the backing.
When he leaves the check and says he's going to take the other meetings, I clap. I knew the world changed. A young black man, 18 years old, walked away from $10 million going back to the projects. The freedom and confidence and belief in yourself to do that. This is a new generation of individuals. And I was so proud of us at that moment. I met LeBron when he was 17. I pitched LeBron.
So, yeah, he's different, man. He's different. Tell me, how many people you know? On the real, how many people you know right now? Bro, you offer me $10 million right now? I'd be hard pressed to turn it down. I'll be honest with you. But and I'm 33. You know what I mean? Grown. Like he was 17. Ain't had no pops. Just him and his mom. And the projects in Akron, Ohio. Ohio. If you're not from Michigan or Kentucky or Pennsylvania, then you don't understand what I'm saying when I say from Ohio. I love my people in Ohio, but I'm from Michigan. So, we like some step cousins that kind of like each other, but don't really. We got mutual respect, but we ain't the first person we choosing. You know what I'm saying? We got some other cousins that we love more. So yeah, man. So that's, I mean, that speaks volumes, I feel like. And I don't think that there's many, like for instance, this is my whole argument. Like, think of a world-renowned doctor. He's got, literally has the most successful surgeries ever in the history of medicine. Has the best patient turnover ratio to you know, no one ever has died on his operating table, nothing. Or her operating table or their operating table. This is literally the best doctor medicine has ever seen. Do you think that if this was the case, that this doctor would then be compared to the last greatest doctor we've ever seen? Probably not. They would just get all the praise that they deserve and that they worked for. But for some reason, LeBron statistically is the best player, best person to ever pick up a basketball and make it to the National Basketball Association. That is LeBron James. Statistically. But still, we want to sit here and argue and not give him his flowers. We will never, ever be able to truly see LeBron face Michael Jordan. And even if we did, I don't think it would be as exciting as we think it would be. Because they're two totally different players. That argument that should have happened when it was supposed to happen never happened. The real argument you guys should have had was, is Kobe the GOAT or is Michael Jordan the GOAT? That's the conversation you guys should have been having. Was Kobe and Michael when Kobe was alive and still in the NBA? You never, ever, 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 ever should have compared LeBron to Michael. Yes, they wear the same number. Yes, of course, Michael is the inspiration to LeBron. But LeBron's game is Penny Hardaway. Actually, it's not even Penny Hardaway. It's Magic Johnson. His build is a Penny Hardaway point forward. But he's Magic. He should have been compared to Magic this whole time. You know what I mean? I think he would have been okay. If LeBron would have been compared to Magic this whole time, then I think that he probably would be the GOAT. People would have never compared him to Jordan because of the style of play is not comparable to Jordan. Because this is what happens. People beat up on LeBron because they say he's not a killer, right? He doesn't have those killer instincts. He's not a he's not clutch. That's what a lot of people say, even though he's made clutch baskets and made game winning shots and game tying shots and stuff like that. But he's a pass first forward. Always has been, like Magic Johnson. So, you know, I just think that comparison is not fair, and it's never been fair. I mean, this is life, right? But somebody's got to be out here trying to make sure that things are a little bit fair. No one's playing fair, somebody's got to play fair. So if you want to just do, if you don't want nobody up comparing you all to Jordan, if you don't want people all in your videos, all in your Jordans, all in your highlight videos talking about Jordan in the comment section, if you don't want all that, then come over to MC Nerd Jock Show. Come over to MC Nerd Jock Show. What, y'all ain't got no love for MC Nerd Jock Show? Yo, on the real, man, we out here just trying to get flowers when they really need to be given, you know what I'm saying? So, LeBron, 40,000 points, man. There's not too many that's done what he's done. It's just a fact. It's just a fact, man. I know people hate, and it is what it is, because I, like I said, I grew up. We've talked about this before on previous episodes. I grew up a Jordan fan. My dad is a Jordan fan. You know what I'm saying? But he's also a LeBron fan. My dad wasn't a Kobe fan, just so you, for those out there, because my dad understands generational GOATs. My dad is a bandwagon fan for GOATs. Always has been. He's a shepherd for GOATs, all right? That's what he does. So, my dad was a fan of Michael Jordan. And then, when Michael Jordan retired, well, while he was here during that time, he became a Pistons fan and ended up being a champion, getting a championship while being a bandwagon fan for the Pistons. But then after that, became a LeBron James fan when he went to Miami. I think it was around the time that he went to Miami. And my dad became a LeBron James fan. Because he knows. He understands. My dad understands reverence, right? He ever understands the greatest. He was a military man, so he understands. So he understands who the importance and the reverence of LeBron James in regards to basketball. Same echoes as Michael Jordan. Same sentences. Oh, okay. Apparently Echo is my Echo Amazon is listening to me and repeating what I'm saying. I don't know if y'all caught that on the thing, but she's talking to me about Michael Jordan, even though I already know who he is. So pardon me. I'm gonna go ahead and turn that off so that you don't hear it again. Y'all enjoyed the sounds of the Metal Face Doom, aka Metal Fingers. And talk amongst yourselves. All right, sorry for that brief intermission, brought to you by our good folks at Amazon. So yeah, man. So that's my spiel about LeBron. I'm not gonna go too far in depth on that, but a lot of people getting hate that they don't deserve the hate. Another person who's getting hate as I'm recording this, just. I came on here to talk about the initial landmark that they surpassed and inserted themselves in the proper position. I went to talk to you guys about that, and while I'm kind of pulling up information on this person, they broke another record because they're just that damn good. And I don't like to curse, but she's just that good. Yep, might have let the cat out of the bag, but I'm talking about Caitlin Clark. So as I'm recording this, she just passed Steph Curry for the most threes in a season in Division I basketball, both men and women. So she officially has the most threes in one season. She passed up none other than Steph Curry in the NCAA. They beat Penn State tonight. But the big story is Caitlin Clark has officially become the leading scorer of all time in the NCAA Division I basketball, both men's and women's. So she has the most points amongst men and women in NCAA basketball history in Division I. I think we should almost double up on those claps and cheers. So she passed Pete Maravich, aka Pistol Pete, who had the longtime record She had 3,667 points on Sunday when she broke the record this past Sunday. Of course, now she's played a few games, so she has more than that now. But honestly, it's truly inspiring for, I mean, both of them. Pete Maravich, what he did back in, it was a 50, I mean, it's a 54-year-old scoring record. So, I mean, that should tell you. That should tell you alone what he was doing. No three-point line. He's just out there killing them, you know what I mean? And people want to, like, beat down Caitlin, not physically, but, like, you know, emotionally or, you know, verbally through social media. But because this is, you know, their argument to say, like, hey, you know, Pete did all, you know, they're basically, like, trying to say it's a different game, right? The women's game is a different game than the men's game. Well, I mean, it's pretty darn obvious, right? Men and women aren't the same. Oh, man. It's a whole revelation. I just said a whole revelation. My goodness. What do you mean men aren't the same as women? What? Yeah. So, that was people doing all that. But, you know, it's kind of a pointless argument. Duh. Of course not. But as she still got to make them shots. That's my thing. Is if you're really a hooper, you know, if you're really a hooper, this is the real thing too, right? People that are really arguing about this and making that their argument that the women's game is different than the men's game are not hoopers. Because anybody that's really a hooper has a friend that's a female that's a hooper too, and they know about four or five guys that they will demolish. And if you see, and if you're playing pickup, I know a good six or seven girls personally that I would pick over a few of my friends that I know can hoop. Shout out to my cousin Sierra. Shout out to my sis Brianna. What up, though? What up, y'all? I pick them two over a lot of my guy friends because I know they can ball. So, you know, I mean, the people that's making this argument are people that are not real hoopers. I mean, I know the game has changed a lot now because of AAU and stuff. But when I was growing up, the girls that were hoopers, they didn't hoop with girls. They hooped with guys. So they could hoop. They could really hoop because they was playing with men's balls. Pause. And they were playing with men's basketballs, and then playing against men, against boys, you know, before they even, like, got to high school basketball and to college to play against other females. Like, that's, you know, I mean, when was the last time you ever been to a court and seen a pickup game of just females? Oh, sorry. I was waiting for somebody to tell me when they've seen that because I'm a hooper, for real hooper. I've hooped all over. I mean, not because I was paid to go hoop places, but because I've traveled and I've literally hooped all over the world. And I have yet to see a court that isn't like a practice or a game that's 100% just women. A pickup game. I have yet to see it. So any girl that's a hooper, that's a real hooper, is my whole point of saying this, is they're hooping against men. So Caitlin Clark, I guarantee she grew up playing against men. So if you're trying to discredit her now, all those skills that she's gotten, she gained against men. And I guarantee she'll bust your, you know what I'm saying, right now if you got on the court with her. Anybody who's listening to this, unless I got some NBA players as listeners, if so, shout out to you and message me, because hey, why not? Maybe I get you as a guest. But for real though, like, that argument is poor, it's boring, it's silly and sad. So Big shout out to Caitlin Clark. Big things over here. Big things happening. Big things. Yeah. So yeah, we're big shout out to her, man. We're getting close to playoffs. NBA playoffs, getting close to the draft for NFL. So we'll get more into sports. March Madness too. Oh man. Yeah, it's about to get crazy, about to get hype. I'm trying to be a little bit more consistent. Try to get this out to you at least once every week to 2 weeks at the latest. So right now we're hitting 2 weeks. So I'm coming back with you guys. I don't want to miss them 2 weeks. I really want to kind of turn it gear here in year 2024, and that's just gonna come with me just fighting through those times where it doesn't seem like I have time and kind of make time, because I enjoy this time that I get to spend with you guys. I know I just said a lot of time, but we don't have a lot of time, so I'm just trying to make sure I am taking advantage of all the time that I'm allotted. So I appreciate you guys for rocking with me. I appreciate you guys for being patient with me. I know the visuals, you know, like I said, we're gonna get there. But yeah, so I say all that to say that I will be back before the tournament really kicks off, because I think I kind of want to do, I think we should do an MC Nerd Jock tournament bracket, like a pool. So if anybody's interested, you already know, message me on all the platforms, message the MC Nerd Jock show. That's MC Nerd, NERD, Jock, JOCK, show. But if you're here, I imagine you probably already know how to spell it. So yeah, man. I think we'll be back before March Madness, so we can kind of get into that of who we think are the favorites. I don't know if you guys saw, but Mike Tyson is going to be fighting Jake Paul day after my birthday, actually. I think the fight is July 20th. What do I got going? July 20th. Actually, one of my friends is getting married July 20th. So we'll see. I'll see if I get to watch this fight or not. But this will be interesting. You know, I mean, Jake Paul, low key, he's actually kind of a decent fighter, especially being someone who, like, we kind of watched get into the boxing space. And you know, really, like, we watched him go from being a gamer and a streamer to now becoming you know, an athlete and a fighter. So I think that's kind of dope, and I think that he, you know, you could say a lot about the Pauls, Jake and what's his brother's name, Jake and John, I don't know, John Paul. John DePaul. shoot, what is his brother's name? Is it Cody? Oh no, maybe it's Cody Paul or something like that. I don't know. Let's see. I feel bad. Let's see here. Gotta hit the Googles, because I have no idea what his brother's name is. Logan Paul. That's right. I knew it was one of those names. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, the fact that they were streamers, and like Logan Paul's a legit MMA fighter and wrestler and stuff. So, yeah, man, this is interesting. Interesting to say the least. I mean, I watched a video of Mike Tyson like a year ago training. He still looks like he knocked a heavyweight fighter out right now. So I think this is a good opportunity for both of them, right? It's a good opportunity for Jake Paul to be able to have a solidified fighter to fight against. So that now Jake Paul, even if he just holds his own and doesn't get knocked down and doesn't let Tyson just beat him to smithereens, then that can then turn into him being able to kind of legitimize this whole celebrity boxing thing that he's trying to turn into. You know, I think becoming a professional boxer, like a real professional boxer, because I think he is. I think he has a boxing license. But I don't, you know, I mean, he's still fighting celebrities at the moment or retired boxers. He's not fighting active boxers, competing for belts and stuff like that. So, you know, I mean, this will help him kind of move forward and start to legitimize things. And for Mike Tyson, he's going to get a crazy big bag. And I don't think that he's in a huge risk to like hurt himself. Like Jake, like I said, Jake Paul is significantly smaller than him for one, and two, it's more of like a celebrity boxing match. So it's not like he's going to go in and get pummeled. You know, so I think this is a good look for Mike. Good look for Jake. And we'll see what happens, man. July 20th at the AT&T Stadium. Here, I want to play this for y'all. So y'all, NBA Jam.
I've read some stuff about it. You know how in the 80s and 90s, the rivalry between the Bulls and the Pistons, I don't think there was a bigger rivalry.
No.
These dudes were trying to kill each other.
Yeah, they punked the Bulls out to make the Bulls what they turned into.
Listen to this story. So the game NBA Jam, if you're playing the Bulls versus the Pistons and it's coming down to the wire, if it's a close game at all, after halftime, they'll start to fall apart. They'll start missing threes. They'll start missing dunks. They'll start turning the ball over, and the Pistons will start hitting every shot. This has been suspected for years that it was written into the code, and it's because the developer of the game, a designer and programmer of NBA Jam named Mark Turmel, was a super Detroit Piston fan and absolutely hated the Bulls.
He was like, they're not beating.
Yeah, he can.
That's right.
In a 2008 ESPN interview, that he did in fact write this into the code.
That's not right. You know what? It's what he gets because the Bulls became what they became. Because the Pistons are trash and the Bulls are a dynasty.
The dude cared that much that he didn't tell anybody.
He took it into his own hands.
Mark T said, nah, not on my game.
With the Bulls.
I'm sorry, guys. It was just funny the way he said that at the end of the video. So that was just a fun little caveat that I saw on Instagram. I don't know if y'all of the age to grow up and play NBA Jam, but man, for real, like you used to pick the Pistons. What's crazy is actually growing up, like I used to pick the Bulls because, like I said, my dad was a Jordan fan, even though Mike wasn't on the game. But I used to pick the Bulls. And I know what he's talking about too, because I remember facing the Pistons and being like, "Man, why are the Pistons so hard? Why is it so hard to beat the Pistons on this game, man?" Oh man, that's kind of funny to find out that. That's cool though.
Going, absolutely killed the Hoosiers. This Nebraska contingent. Xavier Johnson doing a nice job of making himself available.
They call him the Japanese Steph Curry, and that's why.
What was going through your mind when you dunked that, though? Because when you dunked it and pulled up, and y'all see you had a waist trainer on, I was like, damn, got a waist trainer on?
Negligent not to ask you, Austin, about.
See, this is why I don't like you.
I know. I'm a good reporter. What happened on that first play?
So I was thinking. Everybody's seen what happened.
Nobody had your view.
You don't want my view.
What up, what up, what up, what up, what up? We back, we back, and we back, and we back, and we back, and we back. Yo, so I know we took a break from like the nerd talk and comic book talk last week for Dilla. But I'm gonna be honest, I really don't have a whole lot for y'all here. I haven't got into Bad Batch yet. I'm slipping. I know. I'm slipping. I know I'm slipping. It's okay though, because we're gonna get back at it, you know what I'm saying? So I'm gonna try to watch that, like at least a couple episodes, so I can get at you guys and let you guys know how we feeling about that one. I just saw that Aquaman and Wonka are both available on Max now, so I don't have to come out of pocket for that again, because I mean, obviously coming out of pocket for Max, but so I'm gonna check that out. Hopefully this weekend. Busy weekend for me. In the process of trying to move, so you know that's always fun. So yeah, I'm gonna try to check those two out, or really those three. So try to watch at least an episode or two of The Bad Batch. Knock out Aquaman and then knock out Wonka, and then I'll get back with you guys next week. Or next episode about those. Also, I did start watching House of Ninja, which, so yeah, I gotta watch. I mean, there's a lot of stuff I gotta watch. Because there's Shogun. Somebody was telling me about Tokyo. What was that? Tokyo something. Like Tokyo Juice? No, what's it called? Tokyo. Somebody's like yelling at their speaker right now. Like, it's Tokyo Vice. Tokyo Vice, man. Tokyo Vice. Yes, Tokyo Vice. So I'm gonna check out Tokyo Vice and Shogun. I'm not even sure what both of those are. I mean, Shogun's pretty self-explanatory. I'm not sure what Tokyo Vice is about, but I imagine it's something like a Miami Vice, but Tokyo. So I kind of want to check that out. I have been watching House of Ninja though, on Netflix. And House of Ninja is actually kind of dope. Like, I wasn't sure exactly what to expect, but it's almost like I'm only on episode two, so you know, I can't speak as if, you know, I watched everything, but so I am I'm on episode two, and hold on.
Spoiler alert. Cover your ears. Skip it and then come back. Cover your ears. Skip it and then come back. Spoiler alert.
Alright, so I got my spoilers out of the way. So it kind of reminds me of like I feel like I just watched something recently. I should have wrote it down when I first had this train of thought. It kind of reminds me of like a little bit of like an X-Men, because of the fact that like they're all in this house together. So basically House of Ninjas, right? So that the show is about, it's set in modern day time, so it's like it's 2024, in this world, right? So in this world today, in real life, we don't necessarily believe that ninjas still exist. We know that they existed at one time, but no one is going, like, you know, you don't hear of ninja assassins, you know, attack something recently, you know. Nothing like that. No one's seeing ninjas or hearing ninjas, or, you know, there's not even really too many emperors or kings running around to even have ninjas, right? Now we just have SEAL teams. Same thing. So, yeah. So basically, set in modern day times, the idea of ninjas is somewhat of a fairy tale or folk tale, like it is in real life now. There's this family of ninjas. They all live in this house. Some are still active members of what we find out is like a whole organization of ninjas. It's like the Men in Black of ninjas. They're all trying to, and just recently we found out in the first episode that they had a family member, like the oldest son, got killed by a rival ninja clan. So you got some family members who are like skeptical. They don't even want to be a ninja no more. There's other ones who are like, hey, this is just a day, another day in the life, and this is what we do. But we're all trying to still mourn the oldest son. And it's just kind of cool to see like them deal with the morality of being a ninja, but also trying to be a good person. Because I don't believe that this Bureau of Ninjas has ill intent. Like they think that they're fighting for the good cause. So if they're fighting for the good cause, then, you know, some things are collateral damage. I think that's how they kind of feel. The impression that I'm getting from some of family members, other family members deal with that morality a little bit more in your face about it. With one of the younger son, he's dealing with that morality kind of in your face on screen. Where some other family members are dealing with that a little bit more internally. So it's kind of a cool show because there's a lot of layers to it, and the fighting is A1. It's top tier because I thought it was gonna be like just straight action, and it's got like a real story to it, which is kind of cool because I wasn't expecting it. Maybe if I had been expecting it, I might feel like the story isn't as complete as I probably do now, not knowing that there was a story going into it. But nonetheless, I think that they're doing a good job so far. Like I said, I'm only in episode 2, so I can't give them too much praise or even too much negativity. But it's off to a good start, for sure. It's off to a real good start. Oh man, this fight, that's what I was gonna say. This fight scene. So there's a fight scene that like really, 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 really sucked me in. That I was like, yo, this show is dope. Because it can be like I said, there's a story to it. So it's a little dry in those moments, especially because it's a foreign language film. So there's subtitles, so you're reading the whole thing. There's English audio, but it's dubbed. So it's not, so their mouth isn't moving with the audio. So I personally use a lot of subtitles, and I've been using subtitles since my first son was born, because when you try to, after you have a kid and they're loud and you're trying to watch TV and you realize that you're not going to win that battle, so you turn on subtitles so you can at least make out what they're saying. So I've been doing that for like 8 years now, so watching subtitles with literally everything I watch. And I actually like it now too, especially with stuff like this, because it gives you like little details that I don't think you would always get if you didn't have subtitles. Like, especially like sometimes if a character's name, if they haven't said that character's name yet in the film or the show, usually if they have a speaking role, the subtitles will tell you who they are. So those little clues and stuff like that, and help you kind of understand the story that's being told to you a little bit better, actually, with the subtitles. So yeah, man, it starts out slow, but then there's this fighting scene that's one of the best fighting scenes that I've seen in a minute. Without giving away too much, there's a scene where someone's trying to stop someone who has a knife, and they're in public, and no one. They're in public. So yeah, man, it's dope. It's a fire scene, fire scene. So yeah, we definitely got to check out House of Ninjas. Man, we got X-Men 97 coming up soon. They just posted something. Disney Plus and Marvel just posted something on their social media. Let me see. I thought I saved it. Okay, yeah. So March 27th, we get that first episode. It's going to run till May 15th. So here's they actually gave us the title names of the episodes. So here it says, it's like a picture of a magazine, like an old school magazine. They actually put some really good detail into this because it's a magazine. It's a picture of a magazine on a coffee table. And this magazine, it says Marvel Animation X-Men 97 X-Exclusive Edition. Then it says Disney Plus March 20th through May 15th. Also, actually, March 20th is the first episode. Looks like two episodes are going to premiere. So they give us the name of all the episodes. Let's see how many episodes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Let's see. I'm sorry. Lost my count here. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So 10 episodes, which I kind of figured that's Marvel's MO. Either 6 episodes or 10 episodes. All right. So here's the first episode. To me, my X-Men. Which I don't know how I feel about that. I didn't like that he was calling them my X-Men, like your own possession of them. Cyclops, you ain't did nothing. You ain't really put in no work to be calling nobody my X-Men. You was appointed. You was definitely appointed. Ain't nobody vote for you, my G. Ain't nobody vote for Cyclops. Nobody. Yeah, and that's shots fired. Real shots. I don't play that. No Cyclops. There ain't no Cyclops fans around here. We Logan fans. All shots. Body shots. Alright. So to me, my X-Men is episode 1. Mutant Liberation Begins is episode 2. That's going to be so fire. Fire Made Flesh. Episode 3, March 27th. Motendo / Life Death. Part 1. April 3rd. Remember it. Life Death Part 2. Bright Eyes. April 24th. Tolerance is Extinction. Part 1. May 1st. Tolerance is Extinction. Part 2. May 8th. Tolerance is Extinction. Part 3. May 15th. Season Finale. So yeah. This X-Men is about to be super dope, man. I'm excited for it. Yeah, man. That's all I got for you on the nerd stuff today. Next week, I'm really going on you guys. Yeah. We'll be back.
Akira Toriyama's monumental influence on the medium will live on forever. Back in 98, Dragon Ball Z put Toonami on the map.
And the Dragon Ball franchise has been our rock ever since.
So tonight, with heavy hearts, we're paying tribute to Toriyama-san.
What up, doe? We back. And 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 we back. Man. So we back, man. You know, there's been some new music. Some new music. Before I get into new music, though, I stumbled across this song on Instagram and this artist, and it I'm a little bit speechless because I was like, yo, this is I don't know what to expect, but this is pretty good.
Now everybody,
no juice, but I know us Jews, we don't like to lose to anybody. People buy views, but I don't buy views. Don't turn on my views and watch your back.
And watch your back, I'll break your neck, I'll pop a can of iron like an ancient black. Your name in black, the list I'm keeping over back. The others keep the numbers fake and cut the rank. So every day I'm low until I blow. Digging hell, I call me, that's just no. Money, love, hip hop is on the show. To go see you later, underrated, see the tea, let me go. At the gate of Eden, cotton, I'll be on the speedy, putting tiny trolley with my slate in, clean and shining, but they don't mind it, you gotta chime in. They don't know what to keep in store. When I become big cash, they be on the score. They don't know what to keep in store. Buy fools, buy views, touch wood, no, I don't pop with that. I don't pop with that.
People buy views, I know it's old news, but also bad news for everybody.
Yeah, man, that was kind of nasty. I don't know how I stumbled on this. Shout out to the National Hip Hop Museum because they reposted it. But her name is Noga Eddies. So Noga Eddies. So N-O-G-A. E-R-E-Z. Hopefully I'm pronouncing it right. Noga Eddies. And that's Views featuring Russell. Yeah, man. That's kind of fire. So that's a live version. But you can find it on the streaming and stuff too. The live version sounds... the recorded studio version sounds... amazing too, but that live version when they was just jamming, rocking right there, that was on point. That's how it's supposed to be. That's how you're supposed to do it. Who else got new music out? I did get a chance to listen to Schoolboy Q. I'm not sure how I feel about it, guys. I love Schoolboy Q. Big shout out to Schoolboy Q. Always, I think he always has some of the best beats. He always tremendous beat selections. I don't know if that's him personally, if that's A&R, if that's Punch, if that's Dave East, whoever is there, or Dave Free. I keep Dave East. I think it's Dave Free is the one of the managers. A&Rs for TDE. I don't know who is picking the beats for these guys, but they did a pretty good job for Schoolboy Q, and the producers that they had on here were A1. So like this beat funny guy, the producers were J-Mo, JLBS, and Tay Beats. So that's who did this one. Let me play this beat for y'all. came in on some real soulful stuff. This is, of course, is Blue Lips by Schoolboy Q. Like, that beat is just nasty, man. It's like an Alchemist beat. Like, I can hear Boldy James or somebody coming in on this. See how this progresses. Bringing the guitar in now. Pretty sure this is an MF Doom beat. Like, either they sampled the MF Doom beat, or they sampled from the same song that he sampled from. I really should have did my research beforehand so I could show this to you guys. All right, let's go who sampled and see, so I don't have to just burn through all, like, 10 volumes of the Special Herbs. All right, so we're going to look. All right. So it's a sample of I Must Be Dreaming by Checkmates LTD. So let's see. So that's the original sample. Let's see who else of this. Yeah, I'm on that by Alchemist in 2007, of course. I told you it sounds like Alchemist. That little part, I've heard it. I've heard it before. Ah, oh, man, I might have to get back to you guys on the next one, because I didn't do my due diligence beforehand, and I don't want to waste your guys' time. Because as we talked about, time is important. I've been getting money back then, making plays top 10, looking me to Rari back then. Yeah, I must be checking, I must be dreaming. Alright, so I'll check it next time, because I'm pretty sure there's an MF Doom, some MF Doom in there. All right, so this song called "Pop," not my favorite. So Funny Guy, Thank God for Me, Blue Slides, Fouks with Absol, and Germany '86. Those are some of the ones. I see the topic now, but everything is snitching. If it's allegations, you snitching, then I promise. This is produced by Foo and Cal Banks. All my mom's gonna lie for me. Watch the switch up, though. Lil G wagging a Tesla cheap. Thank God for me. All my mind gonna slide for me. All my mind gonna for me. Go to hell, you ain't fed. The white teeth do what I say. You rats taking down your pairs. The truth been coming out fair. My neck piece looking like pears. The Maybach, me and her marriage. Switch up, switch up, switch up. You hanging on to it now barely. Move on, bone, that's clarity. Came home, home, that's scary. It's gonna switch up one more time, too. I'm gonna supposed to be a secret. My police was getting tested on God. Slide. Supposed to be a secret. My own God. Blame. On God, you see a chain. Yeah, that slide back into the beat was nasty. Yeah, that was dope to me. So thank God for me. That's a dope one. Blue Slides. Sound like a conductor beat. Conductor, conductor. It's not though. It's Tay Beast, JLBS, Jason Wu, and Mario Luciano. Luciano.
Presidential rollies, I took big risks. We split the profit with the people, we be all lit. Top 10, 9, 10, we all in. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty, man. Yeah. That's beautiful. I like those type of beats.
Better climb out of that hole before you fuck up your blessings. Before you realize that it's over with and start to get desperate. Keep your mind, body on pressure, give your time when it's needed. Know a man gonna be a man if he don't work, he ain't needing.
It's that one with Absol.
I ain't never seen fire shooting up so high. Are you listening, people, to what I'm saying? Because it sure looks to me like them diggins ain't playing.
Them diggins ain't playing.
Them diggins ain't playing.
Them diggins ain't playing.
Shout out to the edited version.
Got a house full of cars and it be like that. House full of pain and it be like that. Fell out of love and it be like that. Mouth full of drugs and it be like that. I done ran out of faith and it be like that. Hit many times and it be like that. Live for the gang and it be like that. I got so many ways and it be like that. It's lightweight. Grew around beef so long as like cake. Soon I bring God around, we part ways. I done lost friends, came up the same day. I done cut ends with that won't change. I ain't buy dope enough to push skis. Tryna stay self-aware within me. Ran through the streets so much my name clean. The only crip gated crip's a new scene. I done checked off the list on my dreams. Cats that deserve.
And this is Germany 86. If you notice the theme on the the type of ones that I like. Y'all check out the Blue Lips, Schoolboy Q. It was cool. It's just, it's a long album. It's long. Yeah, it's eight. Listen, it's 18 songs, 56 minutes. Which, when I was coming up, that wasn't long. In this day and age in music, it's a little bit long. It's a little lengthy. For listeners, especially when there's a lot of skippables. There's too many skippables to be 18. Like, you gotta, if there's gonna be 18, they need to be like a minute and a, you need quite a few a minute and a half songs, I feel like, in this day and age. I don't think that you should be putting out a major album that's longer than like 45 minutes, to be honest with you. And 45 minutes is pushing it. So this next album I'm about to play for you, I could almost play it on this and not get in trouble. The whole album, but J Period just came out with the second chapter to J Period's Story to Tell. And this is how it starts. So I don't know if you guys heard the first one, Black Thought, Messiego, or I'm sorry, I don't know how to pronounce his name, Messiego, Maciego. Y'all know who I'm talking about, the singer. I apologize and pardon me. I was on the first one. Of course, Dave Chappelle narrates the story. So. So yeah, that's the first track. He's got the song called Hot Sauce with Aloe Black and Andra Day. That one's cool. But to me, the best song on the whole album is called Cut the Line, featuring Josh Stone and Cardinal Official. Cardi!
What am I talking about? Not too much to say, not too much to shout. I write it in capital letters, you can figure it out. I make the noise if you're deaf to my words. You think it's a ploy and I'm testing your earth. How can I show you the truth if you turn away when I'm bruised? Someone cut the line of communication. Someone cut the line, someone cut the line. No other explanation. I can't get in, I can't get out. I can't get over how you're shutting me out.
Give my chance away. Art to art, we never apart. Let me apologize. I'm working hard, but me can't lose it to other guys. Give me the note, what me for do, for one thing you for do. Words cannot express the way it is. I love you so. Many have tried and none have won because you're loyal to me. A queen me call it only because you are royal to me. Yeah, and you were royalty simple from the way your back arches to the depth of your dimples. I am 0.5 of the one, you my other half. Lights low, use my tongue tracing autographs. All over your collarbone, tasting every drop of sweat. You got competition? Shit, I ain't seen it yet. I know I ain't talk much, trust me, I've tried. I'll try harder just as long as you ain't cut the line.
Yeah, that's, I think that's my favorite off the album. He's got this one with Moo Moo Fresh where she goes in.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, chapter 3.
So this is the last song.
You have one old archive.
Something to look forward to. So it looks like Wyclef is gonna be ready for the chapter 3. Hopefully we don't have to wait as long. Let me see. This came out 2024. Let's go J period. Let's go to artists. The first chapter, yeah, it was 2021. So hopefully we don't have to wait 3 years to get another chapter. Because I believe J period's plan is to have this all kind of blend together. So there'd be chapter 1, and then you go right into chapter 2, chapter 3, blah blah blah. You listen all in one setting. I imagine at some point it's going to be released as like a vinyl collection if they're smart, which he is a smart dude, so I imagine that's how it's going to go. So yeah, I'm going ahead and making a collection, or I mean making a collection. Making a playlist right now on Tidal. So that it kind of flows. And then when the next one comes out, I'll just add it right there. And I'll make it a public playlist so that you guys, if you guys follow me on Tidal, then you'll have access to that as well now. And it has basically just both the first two chapters. So I'll actually go back and listen to it, and maybe I'll get back to you guys next time on how I feel like it, you know, because now I feel like I'll be able to judge it, because right now that's only six, there's like six songs. Yeah, I think that's only six songs. Let me pull that back up. Yeah, so that's, I'm sorry, seven songs, including the outro. And that's, so compared to that almost an hour long album by Schoolboy Q, J Period gives us 3 years in between his albums, and he hits us with a whopping seven songs for a total of 12 minutes and 40 seconds. So he's in your ears for 13 minutes and then he dips out. Schoolboy Q, on the other hand, is here for the long run, and he's going to be rocking with you for a whole hour. So I hope you have the concentration for it. And it's not like it's a heavy album at all. For me personally, there was a few songs that didn't stand out to me and didn't grab me. So therefore I'm probably just going to skip them and not keep, like, you know what I mean? Not add them to my playlist. Cause I try to make like a new playlist for the year. That way it kind of helps. And then when I get to the end of the year and I can kind of tell myself, okay, these are the songs that I enjoyed and that I liked from the year. And then, hey, I can better bring them to you and tell you guys how I feel about them. So, yeah, definitely a lot of dope beats on this Schoolboy Q album. I just think that he probably has better albums than this, but I'll listen to it again and see how we're feeling about it. I don't think anybody else put anything else out that I know of. No, yeah, it's all. What we got? So, I guess the next thing that I'm really looking forward to music-wise is I was really hoping, I couldn't remember when Common and Pete Rock. So, Common and Pete Rock have an album that they've been working on together, and I believe it's supposed to drop next week. I thought it was this week, so I got kind of super excited for the hip-hop portion of this, but we have been duped. It is next week. I apologize, guys. I thought we was gonna be able to rock out to some Common and Pete Rock, but until next time. So, yeah. I guess I will see you guys next time. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Like I said, I'm going to keep trying to rock with you guys and, you know what I mean? Really trying to put more out, get more of these going, you know what I'm saying? Some more of these so we can get vibing, rocking together, and kind of get more consistent and finally get to the place that we want to be. Just appreciate y'all for real. Make sure y'all follow me on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. Like I said, I make little videos that I post different stuff. Like I'm kind of making little videos of the footage that I got from the Dilla World event. So I am just kind of featuring every artist that I was able to get recordings of, and then kind of making a little video from their performance with all of the footage that I got. So I've been kind of doing that. Still posting my little vinyl videos and just stuff to keep you guys entertained and kind of locked in until the next episode. Yeah, man, what do we got coming up? We had, before I let you guys, before I dip out of here, what to look for, what to watch for. April 14th, if you guys are into battle rap, the MC Nerd Jock Show will be in the building for the first Black Mafia Battle Rap League event. It is in my hometown of Mount Clemens at the Stadium Nightclub. So it will be Calico, Detroit's own Calico versus Reed Dallas. Philly's own Reed Dallas. And if anybody that knows me knows that I'm a huge Reed Dallas fan. I grew up on like the hip hop, or I mean, I grew up on the rap battles. So although I'm a huge Calico fan too, because Calico be representing for the city heavy. Like when I was growing up listening to rap battles, Reed Dallas was one of those dudes that I used to watch. He had this YouTube video, man. It was, I swear I've seen it almost 1,000 times. But he had this one part where he's like, and if you're a family man, spraying up the family van. He was going in, man. He went in on this dude. Man, I miss those day and age, man. It was a legendary time, man. It was just a bunch of people in this clothing store or this barbershop or something that it was. And then they just battle right there. Everybody crowded around and they battle right there. And what's cool is I think that's what Calico, this is Calico's league, the Black Mafia Battle League. I think that's his, I think that is what he's going for, is kind of bringing it back to the old school. If, for anyone that's from the area, if you ever been to Stadium Nightclub, so it's kind of got like that old school, like dance floor vibe. Like there's a big, like the dance floor is just in the middle. It's a big, huge, like, circle. And the dance floor is in the middle. And there's... It's been a while since I've been in there, and it's changed. Last time I was there, I think it was called something else. I don't feel like there's much of a stage at all in this venue, really. So they're going to have to be, like, on the floor. And I think it's going to be more old school, because Calico mentioned that before in an interview. Like, that's what he misses that, and he's trying to bring, that's what he wants his league to be back, kind of back to, is that old school, everyone's kind of crowded around in a circle. Sorry, I just knocked my phone over. So everyone's kind of in a circle, and crowded around the two performers as opposed to watching them up on a stage. So, this will be interesting, man. I'm super excited to be in the building. Definitely, if you're going to be in the building, hit us up, let us know, so we can, you know, meet up, check in, what's up, all that kind of good stuff. Definitely appreciate y'all. I hope you guys have a blessed and wonderful week, and I'll get back with y'all soon.
Like Amari, free Palestine, looking at you with the beady eyes. You can give me Stevie eyes, still couldn't turn a blind eye to a genocide. Let's turn up the temperature. Y'all play it too cool for me.
Prove me wrong.
No. Why I gotta prove myself to you for? No matter what I say, you always looking for a loophole. You don't want me hot, but you gon' hate me if I'm lukewarm. If I'm too bored, I gave you two more chances after you were dancing over lines. I drew hands out the window just to catch wind of moves you were making right under my nose. Fucking with these.
assholes. They only want you for the clout. They only love you when you're gold. It's so arrogant to be standing there scrolling through bitches. Having someone tell you you can do better is really a privilege, but you don't get that and it's cool. So I'm checking up on you from a distance, watching you get with couldn't get with back when I was getting with you. Split me in two. Caring for you only made me a miserable fool. So you're right, I don't.
This episode of the MC Nerd Jock Show was brought to you by the United Negro Podcasting Guild of America, where we be podcasting. This episode was recorded at an undisclosed location in Grosse Pointe Woods, Michigan. Edited in an undisclosed studio in New Baltimore, Michigan. All episodes of the MC Nerd Jock Show are brought to you by GC Productions. You already know. The intro and outro of the MC Nerd Jock Show are produced by none other than the legendary producer Slumber Logic.